Hi, Mark.
Hey, Jay. There he is. Perfect timing. Look at
that.
What's
up, guys?
Hi, David. Mr. Whitehead.
How you doing?
Very good. Yourself?
Good. Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun. I already liked our pre-chat, so if the pre-chat gives me any indication, people are in for a fun one.
Yeah.
We're greasing some wheels. David, tell the nice people about yourself. I feel like there's always crossover. And I'm always surprised about who knows who and who's listening to who. But I like to assume nothing. So tell the nice people who you are and what you do.
And they have just to clarify to jump in there, because you're one of those guys who's kind of hard to track down when you go by like three or four different titles. So I'm like, I remember looking for Truth Warrior for a while. And then I was like, wait, is he Cult of the Medics? Is he, what's this guy's name? Does he have a Twitter? Yeah, how come he's not on YouTube? So for anyone who falls in love with you during this episode, make it easy for them to find you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. First of all, thanks for having me, guys. Always glad to see podcasts like this. My name is David Whitehead. I live in British Columbia, Canada, born and raised in Canada. I was born in Alberta, actually. And I grew up with an insatiable curiosity about mysterious things. And I started my journey looking into religion, comparative mythology, history, kind of on that vein. Those are my passions. I also got into ufology down the way, got into like ancient aliens and all of that. And when I was doing that research, I was actually on, I don't know how many, five seasons of Ancient Aliens, worked with History Channel for a while, worked on a show called The Unexplained with William Shatner for a little bit. That was happening right up to the pandemic. I'll be careful with that. with the thing that happened to the world that changed.
The very real thing that totally
very real thing that happened. And that got shut down. I've also been a passionate martial artist my whole life. These are sort of my two main things, is that I just love learning and reading about all the things that very few people talk about over just like dinner conversations, but that people like us love talking about, because life is a mystery and it's unfolding all the time. And I like looking at things differently. And I've also realized along the way that we've been told a lot of lies, and I wanted to try to find the truth. So I did some radio work back probably around 2010 with American Freedom Radio. That's where Truth Warrior, which is the name of my show, was born. And then it moved into, I was on my YouTube channel as far back as 2008, just doing like video logs where I just record myself talking in my car or something, talking about whatever. And then that evolved as I kept learning about the state of things, especially living in Canada, and just seeing economically, politically, just things, just the culture dissolving, everything's just turning into something that I was not expecting. And then it drove me to research further. And fast forward, I started doing some work with the great Michael Tesserian, who is still a great friend and colleague. He's hails from Ireland, and he's written many books on this subject. He's kind of a maverick encyclopedia for occult, esoteric, conspiracy knowledge. And so I did that. And I opened up a martial arts school with my wife about 2000, when was it? Mid 2000s. We were in Toronto at the time. Then we ended up moving out west, where I am now, relocating. We had our martial arts studio running as I was doing my television stuff and my podcasting. And then that also got shut down with the thing that happened to the world. Mm-hmm. And I had to do my show Truth Warrior full time. And that's where you see Cult of the Medics come in. So Cult of the Medics was a documentary film series that I made from home, just in my basement while I was sitting here watching the world go crazy. And it was a way of venting. It was a creative process. And I'd been planning on doing this series. And by the way, people can watch that for free. I've got the first 10 chapters out, cultofthemedics.com. It's just designed just for that series.
Right.
It's taking you through my journey, like the journey I went on, waking up to these subjects that we're going to discuss and talking about it. Basically, I would sum that series up as a forensic investigation into the occult history of the medical industrial complex, as we've called it. And so I'll just leave that there. We can get into that down the road. And I also told the story of the thing that happened to the world, along with the ancient story of the progenitors of the institutions and whatnot that we now call Big Pharma, et cetera. So That's what that's about. And it's huge with my regular podcast that I do. I just finished one actually right before coming on with you, fine gentlemen. It's called Truth Warrior, my show. You can just look up Truth Warrior. I think that's the best thing to look up if you want to find my work. If you want my website so you can get access to all my content, I even have some premium content. It's dwtruthwarrior.com. So that's the simple.
And I found out today you're also on X.
And I'm on X, of course. I'm on X at Truth Warrior Dad. That's my new one. I got banned previously with the previous Twitter regime. When the new guys came in, I'm suddenly able to say whatever I want. And my other main social media is Telegram, and that is DW Truth Warrior.
Perfect.
And because I'm such a good producer, if you go down to the show description below on YouTube and Rumble and other places we're at, you will find all these links.
You're the man. Thank you, Jason.
My homework.
Beautiful.
Good man, good man.
Okay, so let's get into it. What turned me on to you originally was the COVID era, that terrible plague that really happened, and your sort of investigation into the medical industry in general. And that's kind of where we'd like to go. Again, with this show, we really don't stick to any specific topic. We have our entry point, and then we go wherever the wind blows. And I think there's enough kind of, we're all good old Canadian boys. I think we have enough in common here. We've been through similar things. Jason, my valiant co-host, left the country during the lockdowns. We live in Quebec, and we were, I think, hit the hardest of any province with Mr. Legault and what he did to us here. I mean, you couldn't even buy cigarettes after 8 p.m. And it was basically life-changing. You know, I'll be scarred forever. I can never unlearn that the majority of the people around me were okay with locking their friends and family out of society.
Yeah,
and there's no apology. There's no turnaround. You know, there's never going to be though they're just kind of like, yeah, you know, that didn't happen, right? Like,
let's just move on. It's all
crazy good. Times.
Yeah, and they'll go, literally, times. They'll go right.
That's all they're going to say.
They'll go back. Like people straight up saying, "Oh, you know, we never said that that certain medical intervention that we forced on you would stop transmission. We never said that." And I'm like, "Well, I couldn't go anywhere without a passport. So what was that about?" It's just memory hole.
Why were you guys all screaming for my death? Like that was weird. Hey, you guys remember that?
Yeah.
No. It's an awkward dinner conversation.
Camps. There's that front page of the Toronto Star. You know, they don't need healthcare. They don't need hospital beds.
No jab, no job. Hey, whatever. Yeah.
You don't need to provide for your family. That in no way threatens your survival. You guys weren't forced.
No, there was no force, right? No. So I love just sending people a link to the dictionary. Like, okay, you have
coercion.
One side. Yeah. You forget what words mean. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people.
Just as a side note, I love how Mark, before we started the show, was like, let's avoid certain subjects. And of course, he just dies.
I got right into it. Yeah. But I've been careful with my words.
I don't want to get your channel nuked. So just make sure, but I'll be as.
It really happened. Everything that the news said was true. We're only here to endorse the status quo and the mainstream narrative, right? There's no.
Hail the technocracy. Here.
Exactly. Yeah. Without the vaccine, we'd all be dead. And that's 100% a fact.
Exactly.
But to get back to my point, I think a lot of people, I mean, this is why I think I was sort of latched onto your message right away, because I've always been big into health and fitness. And you could really see right away with what was going on, the divide between people who understand the difference between health and medicine. And that if you do one right, you don't need the other generally. And then you got to see sort of two deviant paths that people took. And a lot of, you know, you see, they were saying, oh, they started going after the health people in holistic medicine, or people in fitness, karate, whatever it is, martial arts. And they sort of all moved into that conspiracy crowd. And then they went after people that are into health and fitness, because we were sort of saying, well, you know, like, listen, you could be healthy. That's always an option. And that was verboten completely. And your sort of investigation into the history, and this is where I wanted to get, like I said before, we don't really need to talk about anything after 2019, but there's a lot of groundwork that was laid from, I don't know how far back you can go, but you've done as good of an excavation as anyone could do. But, you know, this goes back to probably the Enlightenment, really, which is where we've gone with this show. And it's what was the systems that were built up that got us to the point that this could happen. And that's really what you've done. Yeah. So yeah, let's TLDR that. Obviously, we want everybody to go and watch your series, because it's fantastic. But okay, if you could sort of, what do you think if we're going to really dig in and diagnose the point where what we now call the medical establishment, the medical industrial complex, if you want to go that far, where did it come from and what are its goals?
Wow. Yeah, it takes me a whole-part documentary series to sum it all up. No pressure. But I'll see what I can do. And that was a really well set up there, by the way.
Thank you.
The way I see it is there's two ways I break this down, and it depends who I'm talking to. There is the, I go with, like, you could start at Rockefeller Medicine, just keeping it more modern. Mm-hmm. I would use this kind of entry point for people that are just coming out of it and just realizing, oh my God, Pfizer executives have been lying to us this whole time. Or, and then in other places, some of them
by have YouTube. Admitted.
Oh, right, right. I think we could say that. We could say, anyways.
Yeah, it was about other stuff. Yeah.
Other stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So some of these entities that I've placed my faith in for the security of my health, as you were talking about, rather than being proactive and pursuing a much more natural, proactive lifestyle, I'll just, you know, that industry started, you could get into the sort of Rockefeller Medicine, the Flexner mm-hmm. Report, like kind of starting there, the fact that it was sort of a takeover through the petrochemical industry of the pharmaceutical industry by basically a few families that had an incredible amount of wealth and power and also had their fingers in the political pie and also mm-hmm. sitting on a lot of these like Rhodes roundtables. And they were all, and then there's like, so that's where I start. And then I start to say, what's really interesting is when you find out that some of these executives, some of these big figureheads like the Rockefellers and some of these names we hear going around, they were also members of these very mysterious orders.
Right.
That are still active in the world today and were started like well before the Middle Age period. Orders like the Knights of Malta, orders of the Grand Cross and all these other things. And you start to go down that rabbit hole as sort of like, that's where I go when I feel like people are a little more, they're oversaturated with just sort of the superficial explanation of what's gone on with this corruption. Mm-hmm. And they want to go deeper. They want to go to the Enlightenment period. And I would go all the way back to even ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, getting into the origin, not saying it's all evil or all good. It's just getting into the origin of various cults. That mm-hmm. is where all the medical symbolism, the ideology, even looking into spycraft. Like if you study, I do a lot of work in Cult of the Medics, breaking down what I call the cult of intelligence, these intelligence mm-hmm. agencies and all that. Well, they didn't just get invented after World War II or before that. They this whole apparatus of, and I mean, any nation would need it. You have a medical system and you have a government system or a tyrannical system of some kind, an imperial system. And then you have the intelligence gathering system that's involved with it. And I track this all the way back to Mesopotamia. There's even CIA documents talking about the origins of spycraft. And so I thought, well, how does the CIA and intelligence community and the spycraft thing work in tandem with this network or this pharmaceutical industry? Mm-hmm. Well, we experienced it during COVID, sort of like the culmination of that, where I found it interesting that everybody was talking about many of these policies and the mandates and the passports, and they think about it only medically. But I think about it in terms of, well, what happened during that period, no matter what theory people take on what went down, what happened was it was the largest intelligence gathering operation on the human species conducted in human history. So mm-hmm. the track and trace, the report your neighbors, the adding of surveillance networks and cameras, the bringing in of like biometric ID systems, and like you see how far China is and you see where they want to take the rest of the world. And so you go, wow, so the medics, let's just call them team medics, kind of worked with team intelligence cults, right? So what if I told you that all of the founders of the pharmaceutical industry, all the main figureheads that like birthed that and made it a thing, and all of like a lot of those guys came over even after Nazi Germany and everything else from IG Farben, and I get into that.
Right.
But then Operation you Paperclip. Got those guys, they're all members of these orders, like these Knights of Malta orders I was talking about. Mm-hmm. as are all of the founding members of the CIA and Mossad and MI6. They're all members of these, I guess you could call them equestrian, chivalric, or Vatican royal orders, right?
Right. It's like Jesuit type stuff. So you could say even like the Club of Rome, the Club of 300. There you go. Realize this stuff goes back really old, really ancient, and they're working together. A lot of people have said that spycraft is a part of these ancient orders.
Yep.
And that the same investors, the same money. I remember an episode you did and you were talking about sort of World War II, fascist versus the communist. And anyone who's sort of looked into that, it's the same money behind it. Obviously, you could get into your own JQ conspiracies there, but sometimes it's even bigger than that. And there's this old money, if it's all the way back to the Medicis, and that at one point, sorry, I'm just kind of summarizing here, but
sure,
that what I heard is basically it's the idea of allopathy, which is kind of Western medicine, right? And that at some point it, instead of, because I'd heard there's this, I don't know if it's true or not, but I thought, I love the idea that there was this Chinese version of medicine, Eastern version, where the way they structured it was that you would pay someone to keep you healthy, kind of like an insurance policy. So you would pay a stipend to your physician until you got sick. And if you fell ill, you'd stop paying because they failed their job.
And I was like, okay, so it's like a retainer, but the other
way. Right? Yeah. So that the incentives are actually aligned with your, like, what's best for you and not what's best for the industry. And then at some point, I don't know if that ever was the case in the West, but I like the idea. And then in the West, whatever it was that they say that allopathy actually came from like battlefield medicine, which was you get a limb blown off, you get hit with shrapnel, right? Treat the thing. Fix the wound, and modern American medicine is still really good at that.
They are. Yeah.
If you get something wrong with you like that, you go to the hospital, they'll stitch you back up. Your rates of survival are going to be really, really high compared to any other place or point in history.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to prevention and promoting a healthy lifestyle that's going to stop you from illness, that's a completely different thing. And what we've done is create an industry around sickness.
Well said. Well said. Jason, you had something to add there?
Oh, no, I was going to say that in a previous life, I actually studied traditional Chinese medicine.
Oh, really?
And was in deep with that sort of holistic kind of path, because it was before I found religion. So that was a whole different thing, but because I was seeking something. But what strikes me now, looking back on that, is the symbolism being used in Chinese medicine, because it's much more obvious and because it's foreign, you can kind of study it more, but it's steeped throughout the entire medical industry now, where, especially when they're coupling psychiatry in with diseases now. It's really just a scam to get you to take a pill, whether it's a herbal pill or whether it's a psychiatric drug or whatever have you, it's still the same symbolism that they're making shit up, and assigning things and putting the word disease at the end of it. And then, then once they can do that, they go, well, you have a disease. We can treat this. And, you know, if you're in Canada, well, the disease gets really too far. Well, there's another cure.
You have a solution.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The final solution for everything.
Could you just off yourselves for us so we don't have to do it? That's basically why I take it. Yeah. No, you're right.
A bit of a burden on the whole healthcare system. So why don't you unburden, do your job.
Do the great thing for the greater good, okay, please, guys? Yeah. No, you're right. And Mark, that was a good summary from you as well. And I have a great respect for the natural approach. And just really, you could look at it as the proactive approach. Like if you're proactive with your health, whether mentally or physically or spiritually, you're going to have good outcomes. If you're not proactive, you are a slave to the people who are going to sell you the pill, and the same people that sell the panic sell the pill. That's what I realized. Mm-hmm. I actually had direct experience growing up watching my mother with one medical emergency and issue after another, to the point where for her whole life that I knew her, I watched her deteriorate under the watch of these medics. I watched her go in and out of the hospital. Numerous surgeries were conducted on her. I think we counted it was 16 major surgeries and countless minor surgeries.
What was her diagnosis?
That's what's messed up, Mark, is that there wasn't ever an official diagnosis. It was one time it was a seizure disorder, then it was epilepsy, then it was this and that and this and that, and then all these drugs, and then it was the drugs, the medications. Like, I used to be the kid bringing my mom those little medication AM, PM,
right,
plastic containers, and I'd have to be the one digging it out, and they'd be like 12 pills she'd have to take three times a day or something.
And God knows. Then you go down the rabbit hole of chasing the thing that was caused by the last thing that was prescribed to fix the previous thing.
It causes another thing.
Never ending. Right.
Yeah. It's like you just walked into a hologram all of a sudden. It just keeps reproducing itself everywhere. And you go, wow. And I just sat back. I remember even as like a 12-year-old kid, just sitting back and going, someone gets to buy a yacht with all this freaking money that my mom is spending, even if it's some of it's through tax, whatever. Mm-hmm. And her health is getting worse, not better. That was what I noticed. Yeah. As a kid, you don't need peer-reviewed journals in front of you to understand that my mother was at a certain level of health and then went to see the medics. And the more she went to see them, the more experts, the more doctors, the more diagnosis, to the point where her files would stack all the way up to the ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. She got worse, and also psychologically worse, emotionally worse. She started to turn into a different person. So this if everyone wants to psychoanalyze why I made this series, it's not that complicated. I grew up watching it. I grew up in emergency room waiting rooms. I grew up watching cartoons in emergency rooms because I was waiting for my mom. My dad was working shift work. It's just the way it was. So I guess as a kid, that never sat well with me. And then she passed away in 2020, around the time that the thing kicked off there. She didn't have the thing. And she passed away from heart failure. She was addicted to morphine and
no doubt
she was off of a lot of the medications by then. She would listen to me, right? She did try, but I think she almost got addicted to medical care. If I was to be truly honest with you, she got addicted to it. She had a horrible relationship with her parents and her family. And I think this was the attention she's always wanted. And so in that sense, that was her contract that she signed on a spiritual level to let the medics do this. And the medics are just doing what the medics do, which is come into our church and we will make you whole. And what they do is send you out in a body bag. And that's what happened. So there was that I guess inspired my research. That's what it was. And about 18 years ago, I picked up a few books. I picked up Eustace Mullins' Murder by Injection. And I picked up the book by Dr. Mendelsohn, where he's basically talking about the medical system as a cult. Like he was the one where he wrote this book. I think it's called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. That's what it was. Hmm. And I thought, wow, so this is like well-regarded doctor, very popular. He's on a lot of talk shows, practiced for like 30 years. And he comes out and basically tells everybody to fire their doctor and start being proactive about their health. And I was like, wow, a doctor said this? Yeah. And then I read his book, and every chapter of the book was like, you could tell he was very pissed at the medical system, because he just went. And so every chapter was like dungeons of doom, as he's describing a hospital, or ritual human sacrifice for like all the surgeries, or like body mutilation. Like, he was very vitriolic in the way that he went after it. And I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And so, and then I just went down the rabbit hole and I just kept reading everything I could. I spoke to a lot of doctors and nurses. And then I was also in the martial arts. I grew up since I was 9 doing that. And all of my senseis were all like naturopaths and stuff. And they were like, anything that doctor can do, I guarantee I can do it better. And it's not because I'm saying I'm better. It's just because they don't really treat the disease. They don't treat the cause. They literally just keep you coming back. It's a business model. It's the same reason why drug addicts put fentanyl on the street and all that shit and make it addictive, give you the first taste for free so that you keep coming back for more. And it gives you, if you think about what the medical system is, there should be a legitimate medical system that isn't corrupt and has humanity's best interests in mind and is based on real science, not the science, and is actually run by sane people. That would be nice. But the fact that it's not, and we're seeing skyrocketing cancer rates, heart disease, epilepsy, diabetes, autism, neurological disorders, nobody even knows what they are anymore. We're at that point, right? And in the psychological thing is huge. So I got into studying psychiatry and I just kept going. And while I'm studying these, like almost like Del Bigtree kind of subjects, right? Mm-hmm.
Everyone who's into this stuff. What's the name of his show? I forget.
The High Wire.
The High Wire. Yeah.
He'd be like more of your, he's kind of like your Alex Jones for the farm.
Well, he was a journalist, right? He was a producer, I believe, on Nightline or something like that.
I think he was on a show of the doctors. Like it was like a doctor show. And he just, I don't know his whole story, but he's a good journalist for kind of getting.
He got fed up.
The more mainstream, like the more normie subjects with this that people need to know about. The corruption, he does a great job, I think. But I'm also studying another fascination of mine along with this, which is the history of secret societies. I'm doing that with literally one of the best scholars that we have on this planet right now on this regard, Michael Tesserian. I'm working with him. Okay. And I'm doing my own independent studies. I also started studying cults, like, you know, these freaky cults in LA, you know, Manson and Heaven's Gate and Process Church and God, the Order of the Solar Templar and all that. And I was like, okay, what's up with these freaky cults showing up everywhere that turn into either mass ritual suicide or even homicide and murder and all of this, like Jim Jones and all that. So what's up with this like mechanism that we see happening, this cult thing? And then you find out there's connections to the intelligence networks. There's corrupt police and all this involved in the investigations. I read Maury Terry's book, The Ultimate Evil, which everybody needs to read, where he basically found that there was a connection between the 44 caliber killer, Son of Sam, who everybody thought was a lone nut, Charles Manson, and a few other like serial killers that were deemed to be like lone nuts. Oh, and the Process Church, which was a cult that came over from England at, I can't remember when, in the 70s, I think, 60s or 70s. Mm-hmm. And their whole modus operandi was built off the Templars. So I'm like, what? So it was weird that my brain was focusing, right as the whole lockdown thing kicked off, my brain was in the world of studying this medical corruption, you know, the CDC, Big Pharma, the whole Bill Gates, all that stuff. Then studying secret societies and just weird, freaky cults of history. And then also studying modern cults, because I was doing the modern cult research for Unexplained, that wanted the show Unexplained. They wanted to do a whole thing on cults and just kind of give a superficial explanation of it. Mm-hmm. And so I did the show with them and they did a decent job, but I wanted to get all the details. So I did my own podcast series on it. And then the lockdowns hit and I just, something inside me just said, okay, this is the moment where it's all going to come together. And lo and behold, didn't they just create a global cult right in front of our eyes? And what did they do to achieve that? Repetitive slogans that were simple. They were repeated in our ears to the point where it was subconscious, even when we tried to turn the radio off. They used symbolism. They used symbolism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we can get into the symbolism of the medics, which is extremely interesting.
Yeah, if you go back to even that, like the you know, the snake.
Yeah, the cult of Asclepius from Greece. Right. That's where it comes from. And all this. And then you go back to Egypt and everything else and how they viewed the serpent and the whole discussion of the serpent and snake venom and the use of creating biological weapons from the ancient times to the modern times and all that. There's a whole story there. And I went, interesting, but mainly they're just brands. Like think of cults with symbols as just brands like Bloods, Crips, Hell's Angels, right? Those are just the low level, you know, mafias. And then there's like, so I look at it as like, there's the black market with the low level mafia guys, the triads, the, you know, these are the guys into drugs, weapons, human trafficking, and all this kind of stuff. But they're just the foot soldiers. They're like Bebop and Rocksteady and Ninja Turtles. Whereas who's Shredder? Who's the master, right, you know, mind behind the evil? Well, this is where we get into what I call the white market. I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about the game of chess, the black squares and the white squares. And if you want to take over and control all the resources, all the land, all the wealth, you need to control the people, right? And in order to do that, you need to dominate both ends of the game. Like if you want to rig a football game so that you can make some money through betting, which is what the mafia does, you need to control someone on both sides of the aisle so that you can have that level of coercion going and that level of blackmail. Well, this is what I think this sort of cult apparatus had been setting up for a long time so that they could give the illusion to the public that we're the holy medics. We're the good guys. We're here. Just give us your blood. Donate your blood to us. The Red Cross. There's nothing shady going on there. Just come give us your blood.
Not creepy
for free.
At all. Yeah.
We'll go ahead and sell it back to the pharmaceutical industries for and give them 80% of the blood plasma that you've just donated, and then recreate drugs and vaccines using your own blood plasma that you donated to us for free. It's just, we're totally on the up and up, right? And all these little hints, I went, so what if they're, and I know I'm dropping a lot of beads here, but stop me.
That's fine. This is the, it doesn't need to be, because people can always refer to your greater work for, yeah, you know, the big picture. So,
but the reason I'm dropping so many of these beads is to try to show you where my head was at, where I was looking at these allegedly separate subjects and these instances and these red flags that were going weird. We got, you know, all this stuff going on. What explains it? Well, I believe that there's a connective tissue between a lot of this. And as I was saying with Maury Terry, that journalist who found connections between these solo killers and what he discovered to be satanic cults operating in America. Okay. And that these were ritual murders. These aren't just, you know, Jacko went nuts because he took some diazepam or something, like, or some drugs. These are hit jobs put out by cults. And these are cult members who are basically, like, literally in a state of mind control that are going out and doing these killings. Mm-hmm. Makes you think about some of these school shootings and whatnot, right? And, and then I spoke earlier about the CIA, and think about the research they did into the psyche and MK Ultra and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, just to cut you off there, because you triggered me with the school shootings thing, because you see it all the time in the news. And the one thing you'll never hear in the discussion, actually, there's two things you'll never hear: schools and drugs. They never blame, because I was going to say, when you're talking about the Rockefellers, the money that got involved with the pushing of allopathy into Western medicine and as a subversion from health.
Yep.
And if you look at when they started pushing this idea of treating symptoms, it really lines up with the same time they started taking over the education system. Which started making education, when they, you know, just openly subverted it and said, listen, we don't need thinkers and scientists and whatever. We need good workers. So let's get involved. Let's copy the Prussian model. Let's institute that and use school as a way to dumb people down and train them to be obedient, not teach them how to think. Right. And the same money, the same foundations, people look into the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation. There's, like, you know, the 5-6 big ones that run pretty much everything, the entire media. You think NPR, just look at the list of sponsors at the end of all these independent or government funded media outlets, and you'll see connecting tissue. And there's a very sort of similar line, similar attack motive, attack vector that they used for education and for medicine at the same time. So that got me onto that. But then back to the school shooting thing, it's schools are the most miserable places in the world. I mean, me with a long background in libertarianism, there's some things, Michael Mouse isn't wrong about everything. He's very right about the one place you'll experience violence is at a public school, where you're locked in with just the worst kids ever. The school choice is a bad thing. If schools are driving kids to the point of mass murder, maybe we should take a look at schools. But you'll never hear that in the media. And then how many of these kids are on psychedelic mind-altering medications?
Yeah.
And that will never be discussed, because exactly like the C word, brought to you by Pfizer, the next school shooting should have that banner on it.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah.
Agreed.
Sorry, Jay.
Before you respond to that, David, I'll do this a little house cleaning. Thank you for everyone who's been watching. Conversations like this with David are always a treat. Send us your super chats. We are money grubbing grifters after all. You can always join our members only friend not fed. It's $2. You know, that's how much we're gouging you. We'll be having a discussion after the main show with David, and we'll be shooting the shit over there. And join our Substack. I've been having conversations with Matt Erickson over at Kingpilled about civilizational capital, and reading Yarvin's Patchwork, which is an interesting little project. I'll be dropping more stuff about Vengeful Sun over there as well. So there's lots of things going on. 2024 is going to be a big giant year for the show. We appreciate each and every one of you, And thanks again for listening. If you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the other audio listener things, leave us a review, give us some stars, give us some love, like, share, subscribe, all the things. I appreciate each and every single one of you. Okay, David.
Very good. Support these guys. Support these guys. We are the media now.
Hell yeah. What was that I saw the other day on Twitter? There was who's that girl in the Rachel Gilmore of the Washington Post? Oh, the most annoying woman who's ever lived.
I can't remember her name, but she's like 90. Whining about the media.
Yeah,
firing each other and getting fired and laid off. Yeah,
yes, exactly. This amazing victories for because I just like, think you can't be a journalist anymore. I'm like, we're thriving.
Yeah, I told her. I'm like, I responded by saying, dude, I have this very small podcast in Canada and I'm living my best life. I don't know what the hell you're doing sitting around waiting for the Washington Post to hire you back or whatever. Like, you go work for yourself. Look at how Tucker Carlson's doing. He's doing great. He's packing stadiums in Canada. Come on, journalists. Yeah. You can do that.
No, the only problem is now, in order to have an audience, you have to tell the truth. So there's a major barrier to entry for some people.
Right. Yes, true.
You have to be interesting, truthful.
Oh, and likable helps too.
Oh, like, yeah.
Likable really, really is really.
Hey, you know what? People even take unlikable as long as you're telling the truth. You could be an asshole. Rachel. But if you're telling the truth,
you don't even have to tell the truth.
Living proof.
Rachel Gilmore has a career. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that works.
Does she?
She's out there.
Does she really?
It's a fake career.
Being unemployed.
Yeah. Well, but to Mark, to your point about the drugs and the kids and the school shootings and everything else, I mean, that is an entire. Like you could do a whole series on that. Like I'm going to do more on future episodes into the psychiatry and that whole world. I'm also going to get into some of this crazy woke stuff that's going around.
Yeah. David, well, like transgenderism and how that's being pushed by you could branch off into.
Driven by the same enterprise. Now you could just sit back and go, so all the more, you know, socialist types would say, well, it's because of greedy capitalism. These people are just greedy. You know, Rockefeller's a capitalist and it's just evil. And that's why, and that's their whole worldview as to why they hate America and they hate freedom and they hate Canada for it. And they like, oh, less freedom is better. See, like we need a more socialist government. We need a big government daddy state to take care of us from these evil corporations. I'm like, what if I told you the government and the corporations banded together a long time ago and they're all part of the same club. And they invented all the isms, and I won't get into the right kind of what I believe the right system would be, a little bit more free market based, but the main point is they got you by the balls, like Carlin said. And I guess the point of all those beads I laid for people, all those different points, is what it gave me the impression that there's room to speculate that there is either a bunch of different cults or ancient orders or secret societies or something, or even one that is sort of, you know, the alpha. And then there's some other little lower level gang versions of it that we see that's trying to essentially corral the control of all of this world and all the resources on it. And I guess I kind of, as crazy as that sounded to me when I first started thinking about this, I just went, well, what if I just kept that as a theory on the wall and then just see how things go and keep researching and see if I can debunk it, see if I can remove it completely as an option, as a possibility. And the issue is, if you watch Cult of the Medics, you'll know what I mean. And people often tell me they have like a very deep experience when they go through it, because it's kind of like some of the things you're going to hear in those films are stuff you've heard before, but never all at once organized in that fashion and delivered in that way, where suddenly you realize, oh, right. All those things are not separate issues. They're all happening at the same time. And what if there's an organizing force behind not all of it, but a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And then the question would be, why, who are we dealing with? What are we talking about? What's the real apex of this? Well, that's where we can speculate. But I definitely know that if we talk about the medical system and the history of it, it's not so ponies and rainbows as we've all been led to believe. If you get into the history of, say, what I believe to be the progenitors of your Rockefellers and your big pharma, you're getting into the history of the hospitalers, right? Don't forget, when I mentioned the Knights of Malta, that's what they're known as today. Mm-hmm. But they were formerly known as the Knights Hospitallers. And can anybody guess why they may have been named such a thing? Well, it's because they opened hospitals and they opened them in foreign nations and found that they could profit off of this enterprise. And at the same time, this order was setting up spycraft networks all over the Middle East. And then we find out later that there was various liaisons taking place between the Templar Hospitaller orders that were in Jerusalem and what we now call the Eastern Illuminati or the Eastern factions. This is sort of spoken about a little bit in the John Wick films where he keeps going to the desert and meeting these sheiks and these, and they're the high table kind of level. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's run there from there. I'm just saying there's sort of, there was like, if you think about it, each of these empires, the Ottoman Empire and some of these other empires in the West, were sort of run by these aristocratic bloodlines. In the West, it was the papal bloodlines, right? And we can get into that, which is what ties into your Vatican. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is the head of the snake. That gets into your all your secret societies, your orders, your royals, etc. And then in the East, they had their version of that. And there was a battle between civilizations taking place. And while on the surface, there's these battles taking place between, say, like Islamic empires and Christian empires and all these other empires, behind the scenes, there's deals being made amongst various elite classes. And that's a story that's sort of embedded in Cult of the Medics because it's important when we study the history of this Knights of Malta, Knights Hospitaller. Because if you just go really quickly to their history, we know about the Templar story, where the Templars were looked at by the church as being the rogue group that was breaking away from the church because they were becoming more powerful independently. The Templars were the first international bankers of the world, mm-hmm. and they were accruing so much money that they were dwarfing the power of the Vatican and even the royals at the time. So they were supposedly executed and rounded up because they were involved in some kind of witchcraft and all that. But that's just the old papal church saying.
Yeah, no, it was Operation Paperclip version one, right?
And they just get rid of I think that was almost like an execution for the masses, kind of like how they didn't take out all the Nazis at the end of the war. They actually recruited a lot of them and then just killed some of the other guys and made it look like there was justice. It was sort of a similar situation with the Templars. And then the Templars went underground. And I'm not saying all the Templars were evil either. There was sort of like the knights themselves who were just good at, you know, doing knight shit. And then there's the cleric orders, like the
killing Cistercians. Muslims.
Yeah, the cleric orders, like the Cistercians and other of these cleric orders, that they were the ones that held the, I guess you could call it the holy grail of knowledge and treasure that's been fabled about with the Templars. It wasn't held by the knights, obviously. These guys are out there doing knight stuff. This is held behind the closed doors of these cults that essentially ran all of it. Mm-hmm. And so we're dealing with, and that's just one, there's many of these stories of these cults we can get into, and they all kind of dovetail into this Knights of Malta, which would be the modern incarnation and sort of the collection of all the leftovers of all these different periods of history. That's what I look at it as, okay? Mm-hmm. So when we come up to today, anybody might go, okay, yeah, it's just a bunch of old men wearing costumes, walking around Vatican City and taking pictures and, you know, they're whatever. And I'm like, well, that would be nice. I kind of wish it was that benign. These guys sit on the United Nations as a nation. They have their, so we're talking about an order of the Vatican that has its own nation status at the UN. It's also observer status. It has its own observer status.
This is which group again? The Malta or
Knights of Malta? Yeah. The Holy See would be the papal orders, and then you got the Knights of Malta, the Order of Palestine, which is really interesting. Why would that be? So this is your Islamic Brotherhood coming in, because of course there was deals made between Islam and Christianity and Judaism that nobody really knows about, and so it gets, as you can see, when we start pulling these threads, it gets really interesting, right? But to sort of bring it back to the medics, which is the point, is that if you think about what was the aim of these empires, the Ottoman Empire, Christendom, the Vatican, well, all of these religious empires were basically trying to become the dominant force on the earth and basically obtain the earth and recruit the world back to the faith. What is Islam trying to do today? They want everybody to be under the rule of Sharia and Islam because that's the only thing that's going to fix the world. That's what they're going to tell you. Well, same with the Christians, same with Judaism, same with all the Buddhism, all these different, everybody's like, we have the solution. But what if that's just the PR? What if these are fronts, just like your Red Cross, your pharma, your medical system, they're fronts to obtain the objection of literally just world domination. And it's as old as that. It's this is like from Alexander the Great right up to now, from Nero to all the political dictators of the 20th century, right up till, you know, the UN and the WEF Great Reset. It's the same old story. And just to wrap this point up, when you were kind of asking about how this all fits, you've been hearing a lot about transhumanism from, you know, Yuval Harari, Klaus Schwab, you know, Bill, all these people who are all kind of implicated in this recent lockdown thing and the jab and all that. And they're talking about modifying humanity to the point where they're literally telling you that you're just a hackable animal. You have no soul. We just made up human rights. You ever hear this speech from Harari? Mm-hmm. He's like, human rights are just something we made up. And no other animal on the planet has rights. So Homo sapiens shouldn't have rights either. Like, they're just saying it. Well, guess what? The arguments for transhumanism is the modern incarnation of what was known as the alchemical agenda to modify man. The modification of human beings goes back to the kings of Babylon, the pharaohs of Egypt, you know, the Caesars of Rome and the Nazi experiments and what your government's been doing while you sleep, experimenting on you. They're pulling your data. Like, this is not new. This is old. So I did a show called Ancient Transhumanism to try to give people a little lick to go, well, what if we're looking at something like a really big picture here? What if it's not just a little bit of corruption here and a little corruption there and a few bad apples here? What if we're actually looking at something that is trying to change the order of nature? That's rebelling against nature. It's like everything you've heard about in religious myths and all that, right?
Well, that's where I want to jump in. So,
right. But let me finish this thought. Mm-hmm. And then you end up realizing, okay, what we got told was just sort of the mythological tale of it, but there's actually a truth to it, a real truth to it. And when we talk about these secret orders and this whole round table thing, we're seeing sort of the modern incarnation of something that's actually very ancient. So that's kind of the thesis. And then that's what I'm trying to see if there's any validity to in the series.
Thank you, Brody Alexander, for gifting a podcast membership. Appreciate you. Have you encountered anything about Orthodox Christianity? Specifically, I'll put out one name, Father Seraphim Rose.
Sorry, say that name again.
Father Seraphim Rose.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll send you some DMs on X. I was atheist for 32 years, anti-theist, very much in the Chris Hitchens school, very much into religion being as a mind control. Until I had a spiritual experience and I encountered Orthodoxy with full honesty. Orthodoxy, it's just as a pushback. And look, we have our problems. We have our one of our guys in Constantinople is probably a Fed. So not to say that we don't have our issues and our problems, both historically and present. However, I think, David, I would be remiss if I don't put this out there. You might want to look into Orthodox Christianity a bit.
Orthodox. I've definitely studied Orthodox Christianity. I didn't hear about the guy you're talking about. Well, let Father me say Sarah this Rose, just to clear it up. Yeah. Let me just clear it up for you. I'm not a fan of religion per se in terms of collectivism in that regard. When it comes to spirituality, I don't agree with it for a lot of reasons because of the level of corruption that we keep seeing. I get it. I'm more of a personalist when it comes to this. So I would classify myself as a spiritual person. Definitely believes in a divine power in this universe or whatever you want to call it that animates all of us. I actually take a more esoteric interpretation of all the ancient scriptures. I believe it's talking about something a little bit different than what we take when we read it literally in the English language. But I don't in any way, shape, or form advocate for the government being able to restrict your religious freedom or anything like that. So I'm basically pro spirituality, pro the pursuit of truth, pro God, if we want to use that term, but anti-establishment institutional.
You seem to have that.
Just as a personal opinion, not to say that the,
I'm not here to convert. So this is never. This is not what God told me. God told me to bear witness, and that's why I do.
Good man.
The other show that I would say to check out if you want to get into the mystery of it is The Lord of Spirits. They're two Orthodox fathers who have been doing this podcast for a long time now. And if you want to see, they really dive into one of the fathers is an expert in both biblical Hebrew, Greek, and English. Obviously, mm-hmm. They break down everything from the Old Testament to the New, and getting into the actual mystery and symbology, and let's say the spirituality inside of us. You know, God in the Old Testament is called the Lord of Spirits because it's not a denial that there is no other spirits. It's like, oh yeah, there are many. Like, you know, all the gods of Egypt and all the Norse gods and all that stuff. Yeah, they were all, we as an Orthodoxy, we believe they were all real, and still affecting people. You know, I think this is where we'll get into, you know, we'll see what they do with aliens. But it's funny enough, like all the language they're using, I'm like, yeah, demons. Yeah, demons and aliens.
Well, see, this is where I push back.
We covered this for a long time, you know.
Right. I say I push back on that one and say demons are aliens. Right. Yeah. But here's the thing, Jason. You know what's cool? We can still sit in the same room because potato potato. It's lost in translation.
No.
Dealing
that's
something
that's a whole thing.
Other than us, or some, you could even look at it archetypally, right? Mm-hmm. Like Jung's archetypes. You could go, oh, these are names and things that we wrote down in a literal fashion to express an internal archetypal connection to nature. And we anthropomorphize nature into characters that we can understand because of psychological projection. That's one theory. And we would say, all right, well, but whether someone takes it all literally or takes it a little bit more archetypally and metaphorically, we're on the same team because we're here combating evil and we're trying to be good. Even God is just good with an O missing, right? Yeah. So we're here to promote the good, and that's what it is. And in the end, we need to get people to understand in this modern age that evil isn't just something we made up, like human rights, like the way you already say. Evil exists. We look at this, look at the evil it's done. Look at the evil we just experienced, right? Evil is live spelled backwards. Anything that is oppositional force to life and thriving of a life on this planet. And that's the force I think we're dealing with. And I think that force, however we classify it, however we denote it, it operates through us as vehicles, but so does the good. So when we're exposing cults and some of their freaky beliefs, remember, when I'm going after the Vatican or I say Christianity, or I'm not talking about every Christian. I'm not talking about my grandma. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the core group of occult Setian Atenus Luciferians that co-opted and put on the costumes of those religious traditions that are what are at the apex. And that's, I think, where we get even into the medics. Like, I'm not here to indict every doctor, nurse, or medical practitioner. I know many good ones, right?
Zero pushback on me from going after the Catholics. Zero.
But no, we shouldn't go after Catholics because it's just my tribe against your tribe. We should go after the apex of evil that's using the mask of Catholicism or any other mask. Like right now, everybody on the internet is all about, oh, the Jews run everything. They're the evil ones. They're the apex. I'm like, okay, welcome to kindergarten.
Like, yeah, it's reductive. Like, it's, I think you nailed it.
It's not a group thing. There's institutional corruption that's happened to everything. And that's because there was, you know, we've fallen from being able to see the truth. And that's why I think the truth is ultimately going to have the final say here. And I think that's why they're squirming, because more truth is coming out than they originally wanted. You know, if you want to look at it like that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think I get from you very clearly, is that you are an objectivist when it comes to morality. There is good, there is evil. And when you say it, even with the cults, you say they're satanic cults. And then people can have their different interpretations of what satanic is, but we know it's the opposite of God. Whatever your way of understanding God is. I was raised Christian, but I'm still consider myself Christian, but in a very open-minded way. I'm open to sort of the Eastern interpretation, the individual interpretation, but I'm also very respectful and appreciative of where Jason has gone with the Orthodox Christian avenue. And I find a lot of respect there. If you can really, again, excavate that, go back to the schism between them and the Catholic Church, and there's a lot of interesting stuff.
The history is amazing. But it's just such a tangled knot. And that's why I just tell people, I mean, when you're out there looking for evil in one particular group or religion or whatever, and it goes for me too, here I am trying to expose it in the medical industry. Remember, we're dealing with human beings here. Well, allegedly, in most cases, we're dealing with human beings here that
unless they're in flying saucers,
are flawed, and that are, you know, we can't just paint everybody with one gray brush. We have to get into the details and realize the only people that are responsible for the evil are the individuals that committed the evil, whether it's historically, presently, or in the future. And we got to stop playing the tribalism game of, like, we can have our sort of favorites and our teams and our allegiances, but if we make it, well, it's the Jews versus the Christians, or the Muslims versus this, and the atheists versus that, and the jabs versus the no jabs, and the blacks and the gays, and how many divisions have we been put into? Meanwhile, we're all getting looted by the same bastards, right? Like that, they're all getting away with murder, literally, while we're all fighting over this stuff. And not to say these aren't important subjects. I'm just saying that I guess I try to zoom out and go, I want to know the truth about all these things. And I'd love to have these discussions as well. But what's the focus? Right now, I'm very much into, we need to realize what just happened to us over the past 3 years. What's coming next? And the thing is these people that I'm talking about, these orders, and they're, you know, they're getting to the Freemasonic stuff and some of that, it's all written down what they wanted to do. It's all written down where they want us to go. You can go to the UN website and read about where they want the world to go. You can listen to them saying it to you right now. That's how blatant it is. And all I can say is when they're giving speeches and they sound a hell of a lot like some of the speeches you'll read out of the historical record from some of these dictators, and you're going, well, maybe this is just like we're on a broken record or something. And then maybe the only solution to this outside of, you know, trying to bring in some higher power to do it would be that there's something with the human race that is being upgraded by facing this evil. Like there's a process that's bigger than even them that they don't even know. They're playing a role in a bigger game to stimulate the next evolution of the human soul at this point. And yet we just look at it all as the superficial things going on. But I think this transcends all of that as well. And that in the end, this is all about the lesson, right? It's all about we're forged through fire, tribulation, and challenge. And that's actually how your immune system or your health works as well. So why wouldn't it be the same for your mind, for your spirit, or even for your nation, or even for the world, right?
Exactly.
So we kind of have to go through this in order to see the dark side of it, not obsess over it, but just see, oh, while we were sleeping, evil was moving in the grass. And now we have the chance to see it, which means we have the chance to stop it moving forward. And that we should put aside our differences just enough to deal with this common threat that we all face. And then we can duke it out about all the other stuff afterwards. Does that sound good?
Exactly. That's why I want to say, like, I hate to get stuck in the jargon. For me, I look at someone like yourself, and I say, okay, zoom out. Are they speaking the truth? And maybe the language is a little bit different or the perspective is a little bit different, but you can look at someone's overall, judge a tree by its fruits. What are the effect of their narrative? And I feel like the divisions are the biggest psyop. And I'm all about allies. Listen, I'll work with anybody who doesn't want to chop my kid's dick off. Right? Like
That'd be a good start.
Right? Like right now, when I'm someone evil or someone good, if they're, you know, if they carry a rosary, I couldn't give a shit. If I look at them and I see virtue and I see someone who cares about their family and their community and is willing to work together on the ties that bind. And trust me, when you're under assault from every angle, like we are currently, that is not the time when you get to have petty squabbles. And so, you know,
that's where I'm at too. Yeah. And I feel so, it guys, like, oh, Jason, go ahead.
No, I think this is a good time to wrap it up. Sure. Coming up on the hour, we can continue this over in the post show hang. Yeah, just to clarify, like I'm not defending Orthodox. I'm not, like I said, I wasn't put on here to promote or defend. That's not my position. The reason I brought Father Seraphim Rose up is I think if you read his book Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future, I think that's a very important book for anyone who, regardless of your faith, regardless of your whatever, be an atheist and read it. It lays out,
it's good shit, Jay. That's why you gotta just go read this book by Seraphim Rose. Don't say the because the Orthodox Christian thing, people are like, oh, you know, just get them in and they'll be like, oh,
well, hey, I like studying all this, you know, stuff, so yeah. I'll check it out, man, I promise.
Sorry, Jay.
Okay.
And I'll send you some Ralph Ellis in exchange. Does that sound good?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, members only. David is going to be joining us there. We're going to do about a half hour. So anyone who's not a member, subscribe. It's $2 a month. We'll be in there. I don't know if we can be more truthful and avoid that. I don't know how hard YouTube hits that with the censorship, but come hang out for a bit.
We'll find out. thanks again. David, have you talked to or you know about Mark Clare?
Mark Clare? No.
Yeah. It's Lions of Liberty.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I'm gonna put you guys in contact.
For sure.
You could definitely do the tour with our connected, our affiliates, say. Buck Johnson, I think, would love to talk to you.
Sure.
Tommy Sammons would definitely love to talk to you. Mark Clare would definitely love to talk to you. So I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. We are going over to the post show hang, we'll be talking a bit more there. Hope to see you there again. Well, hope to get see you there soon. Thank you again, David. We will talk to you all again soon.
Thanks, boys.